All right, now we love nothing more on this show than to profile and celebrate homegrown talent, and my next guest fits that brief perfectly. She's a multiple award winner with a SAFTA and several Fleur de Cap gongs to her name. Born and raised in Cape Town, Quinita Adams has, through her extensive catalogue of work, become known and loved as one of the country's favourite stage and screen performers. From her roles in productions such as Forgiveness, Skien, Binnenlanders, Arendsvlei, but it's also Quinita's role behind the camera, where she's also proved herself time and again as the creator of the apartheid era autobiographical drama at Riviera, and most recently as the writer and director of the hugely relatable comedy drama Swirl. Before we meet her, let's take a listen to a clip from that film, starring Chanel Davids, Vinette Ibrahim, and of course the late great Charlene Surtee Richards.
Elaine, Nida is fine.
She's in demand, what?
She's an incredible student, a dedicated stylist.
Yes, well, it's just something about her I don't like.
So it's actually the best to add with her skills, you know, the way I are.
Say nervous?
Nervous for what? If you fail to prepare, prepare to fail. And you are prepared, yes?
Yes, mommy. In here, because you're nervous, you just need the formality. Theory, then prac, then the rest for my career.
But you was not going to get your own salon for a long time.
I messaged the estate agent on the website. I'm putting in an offer.
That looks tunnel for Oolang Kaleha now, because I want it. Now the bank says denied.
My baby is net a minor setback.
Of Krishna.
Well, I heard about your little home setup. So I thought I'd come and see for myself.
I'm being sued, Pfizer.
I tried to tell you.
Chai trevit. I'm trying, mommy. I'ma just leave it.
Leave it to do what?
To grow, mommy. Like, no more chemicals, no more straightening.
No more chemicals, no more straightening. We've all been there. Quinita, welcome. It's great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for making time for us this morning.
Hi, morning, Susan. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's such
always
a pleasure.
Lovely.
Oh, lovely. Thank you so much. Listen, I must start, of course, by acknowledging one of the stars of your movie, Swirl, who was taken from us this past week, Charlene.
Yes.
Condolences, of course, to her friends and family and to
Thank you.
You
so much.
How will you remember her?
It's strange. I have been resisting these questions because I think it kind of forces one to come to terms with her mortality, and I think I will remember her in defiance of her mortality. I will remember her as a brilliant actor, as a mentor, as a comic, as a dramatist. Like, it's hard. It's hard to put into words exactly how I will remember her, but I will remember her with joy.
There's a beautiful tribute that you, on a News 24 article, a beautiful tribute there from
you,
describing your time together, having met many, many years ago on Rugby Motors. And I loved how you described the way, for those of us who didn't know her personally, we really got a sense of who she was through this beautiful tribute. And you
talking
about sort of whether you are on the inner circle or not. And I just thought that was a beautiful thing in it, and it captured the essence of a person that so many of us felt that we knew because
Absolutely.
She was in our homes and our lives.
Yes, and also because there was no barrier to entry to the Golden Circle. I mean, you know, you think of a Golden Circle and you think of it as being quite a small, like, exclusive club. Her Golden Circle was, in fact, like the entirety of the country.
Yeah.
Like, even through the screen, you were in her Golden Circle because she was so kind of effusive and warm and loving and accepting. There were very few people that she immediately kind of didn't take to, you know?
I'm guessing that, like many performers, for you, she was one of the actresses that you looked up to when you were starting out in this industry.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've been saying that. Like, she made me possible. Like, I would not have any kind of career in this brutal industry were it not for her. And I said, you know, she's in a pantheon of women who lit the way and were, you know, they were out there kind of on the vanguards. But particularly as a young woman of color, a storyteller of color, of someone who didn't necessarily fit the mold of what conventionally is understood as to be beautiful. I mean, and Charlene was exceptionally beautiful. Like, she had a skin that you would just die for, you know what I mean? Like, no matter what, Charlene would rock up, and her skin, I would always comment, just like, it was smooth as an egg. You're just like, what? Do you sleep in a freezer? Like, I don't understand why, what is this agelessness that's going on here? But she also challenged kind of those very typical, conventional, kind of Hollywood inherited ideas of, like, you've got to be this skinny, and you've got to be this particular shade of brown, and your hair's got to be this, and you've got to be, you know, and she just lived in defiance of that, and she performed in defiance of that, and she was funny, but she wasn't just the funny one. She was just, like, incredibly moving and powerful, and so to know that she was out there doing the things has been so incredible.
Yeah,
for me,
such a trailblazer and such an enormous loss to, of course, to her friends, to her family, and but really just a beautiful tribute to her. And I would encourage you to just go and check out Juanita's tribute to her, which is at news24.com. It was lovely, and it was very, very moving.
Thank you.
Did you always know that you wanted to act? Did you always know you wanted to be a storyteller? And I love the term storyteller, because it encapsulates so much more than just the portrayal of somebody other than yourself on screen or stage.
Yeah. Well, strangely, the very first kind of idea of profession that I ever had that I can remember as a child myself was to be a professional gift wrapper outside what used to be the Garlics. I don't know how old you are.
In town, but 40.
No. The one in Claremont.
Okay.
I'm not that old. Stop yourself. So there was the Garlics. And then between the Stafford and the Garlics was this water feature in the Cavendish Square, the old, like, back in the 80s, and it was exceptional. And I had this idea I was going to get a barrow, and it needed to be between the Garlics and the Stafford, because that's where people went to buy fancy gifts.
Right.
You know what I mean? Your Swarovski crystal, your royal, whatever. And so I needed to position myself outside that so that I could wrap gifts. Because, in fact, as a child, I was a visual artist. My mom tells a story of when I was 2, I made my first kind of greeting card. And it was a drawing of Snoopy. And it looked exactly like Snoopy. And for years, in fact, as a primary school kid, I ran a little business. I would make greeting cards. So whatever the occasion was, is it Valentine's Day? Well, of course, the big days were, like, epic. They were the money spinners. But if there was a birthday, so in fact, when I left school, I spent 2 years at the Michaelis UCT kind of doing fine arts. It was terrible. It was just the wrong time. I hated Michaelis as much as Michaelis hated me. So when I left, there was no love lost. And then my parents were like, I was like, I didn't want to take a gap year. And my father was just like, That's cute. And, you know, I have a small gap between my teeth. And my father was like, it's the only gap we're going to tolerate in this house. You need to get yourself a degree. You owe us this paper. And I was just like, well, what else do I like? Oh, I've also been in school plays. I quite like acting. I go to drama. Yeah, let me see. Let me just get this done. And then, so then I registered and did drama on the same campus. And then it was in my, and in fact, when I left, when I graduated from UCT, I went and sang, because there's another thing I do. I also sing. So I went and sang, you know, I did the islands. So I was in Mallorca for like a year. And then I came back and I was given the opportunity to do my honors. And it was while I was doing my honors that I connected with Lara Bai, the beloved and well-known and also like, accoladed to the hilt theatre director, and I worked and I assisted her on a project, and then she invited me to audition for her play, the play for Coloured Girls that she was directing. And that, of course, was my first professional theatre production. It was at the Baxter, just so magic. And we won a Fleur de Cup, and it kind of catapulted me into the industry in such a kind of big way. That from there on, things have kind of taken off.
So you could have been, you know, designing sort of gift cards, but instead, just because you made a sort of decision based on I was once in a play, you're now one of the country's best loved actresses. I mean, CNA's loss is our gain, obviously. But
thank you.
But it just seems extraordinary. I was expecting you to say, yes, I came out of the womb and I was quoting Shakespeare and things.
Well, I mean, you say that. You speak to my parents, they'll tell you a different story. They were like, no, this child was performing since before. You know, I was talking by the time I was a year old.
Wow.
And so I was always, and mimicking was my thing.
Yeah.
Like we would have, as one does in any family, there's always an auntie or an uncle who is known for a quirk or a particular turn of phrase or a way of speaking or a funny walk. And as a child, as soon as I realized that I could get what I wanted, if I was funny, if I was cute, if I could accurately kind of mimic or imitate this person, I was getting all kinds of attention, you know. There are also stories of me as a young, like having concerts at home.
Oh, yeah.
And turning our lounge essentially into that Fame, you know, Fame the musical.
Yes, indeed.
I would like do all the musical numbers and I would write poetry. And in fact, years ago, there used to be this magazine. There were two magazines that kind of politically formed me. It was Upbeat and Molo Songololo. And when I was about 10, I think I wrote a poem called Poverty.
Oh, powerful.
In rhyming couplets.
Sure.
Yes, and I also drew a picture of a mother with a baby strapped to her back, but they were like tied up in barbed wire. I was deep, guys. I was deep. I was going to end up on the stage or in jail. So I think even when I was at Michaelis, even when it was about telling stories of my community, and I think it's what kind of put me at odds with Michaelis at the time, because all I wanted to do was kind of put these stories of the community that I came from, the people who looked like me, I wanted to put that out there. And it wasn't kind of where they were going at the time, bless them. So that's why I refer to myself as a storyteller. I think I've always been engaged in this act of internalizing experiences and then putting them out there in a way that resonates with people.
And it really does resonate with people. And I think the authenticity that comes when we are telling our own stories is something that it just simply cannot be replicated. You can spot a fake a mile off. And I think, you know, one of the things that we are told as aspiring writers and authors is write what you know. And in some ways, I'm sure that can be a predictability that comes with that. But I think particularly when it comes to people of colour, we're not at that predictability yet, because the opportunity for us to completely authentically tell our own stories is really only just sort of gathering momentum. So do you feel that is that a rule of thumb that you live by? Because if you look at Riviera, Autobiographical Swirl, I think too, is that what you think? Write what you know.
I think this is interesting for me, this conversation, because I have come to writing, the discipline and the kind of craft of writing, I have come to it as an actor. And as an actor, it is antithetical to act what you know.
Mm.
Your job as an actor, my husband, if you ask my husband what I do, he tells people I pretend to be other people for a living.
Yeah.
So that's one's job. One's job is, in fact, to internalize and embody what you don't know, but use the kernel of what you know to help inform what you don't know. And then because acting is collaborative, a director will guide you to this unknown through the murky waters of the unknown. So as a writer, my position is, as much as you can, use what you have, use whatever resources you have, be it your research, your own lived experiences, kind of anecdotal evidence, and to fill in the gaps, be guided by those who know. Because I think there's also this, in the narrative and in the discourse about who owns what story, I often get, I tap out of those conversations quite soon, because I find that there's very little new that's being said. I think these are important conversations. I think we should have them. But I always like to err on the side of nuance. And so I know that as a writer of color, if you ask me to write a story about a community of color, because I didn't grow up everywhere,
Yes.
I only know what I know.
Yes, because we're not a homogenous group of people.
Exactly. Yeah. But what I can do is use those bridges to get me to where I need to be. And then the thing about writers, which I always encourage, is are you open to being guided? Are you open to collaboration? And I think that's the strength of an actor, is to understand the power of collaboration and to understand what happens when you are guided.
Yeah.
And I think because really writers who are perhaps only just writers, it's such a solitary and often isolating experience,
yes,
that this idea of collaboration must feel threatening.
Intrusive,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so absolutely write what you know. But in those instances where perhaps you know less, there are people there who know. Go to those people. Be guided.
I completely agree. Yeah, be guided. I completely agree with that. If you just tuned in this morning, we are chatting. Our Profiles guest is Quinita Adams, who, of course, writer, director, performer, storyteller, and mom. We're going to add mom to that
because
that's happened.
Yes.
You and I became mothers within about 6 months of each other. I was following you actively on social media, so I was about 6 months ahead. So I was sort of sitting back and watching. You are a powerhouse because movie, Swirl, was done during COVID with I saw a photograph of you with your baby on set in the middle of a pandemic with a movie that you'd written and were directing. Are you Mull? What were you thinking?
I don't know.
No.
I look at that photo.
It's
and
lovely.
Thank you. My husband took that photo. I think he understood the magnitude of
powerful
of the moment.
Fantastic.
And in fact, the reason I had asked them to come to set that day was because it was a day when there were as few of the actors on set as possible. So just to try and protect everyone. It was the day with the smallest amount of actors. But importantly, Charlene and also Vanette happened to both be on set that day. And I wanted them to meet Alia.
Okay.
Well, my daughter's name is Alia. And I wanted them to meet her. So she was there. And what had happened was she had suddenly just gotten cranky and was crying. And in fact, I was so focused on directing, I didn't even hear her crying. And someone said to me, I think your baby's crying. And I'm like, no, it's fine. She's with her dad. And my mother was listening. I was like, no, it's fine. She's there. And then I kind of stopped and I was like, oh no, that is definitely my baby. But now you also, it's the film industry, we can't take time out. This can happen. We have not scheduled a boob session. So Brian brings her over and literally I mean, my breast pump is also on that photo. So it was just this insane moment of like grabbing her. We still need to do it. And honestly, it was also about just keeping her quiet for long enough to get the shot done. And I look at that photo now and I'm like, what are you thinking? What is going on in your head?
But it encapsulated, when I saw that photo, I just thought, and I'm not alone. And I'm not alone because, you know, that's essentially how so many, and particularly new moms, when you're, you know, because this new mom vibe is a trip. It's a whole thing.
It is a trip, guys.
Oh, I mean, it really is. I've got a 19-month-old and I'm just every day, I'm just like, this is blowing my mind. You're amazing, but you're also a menace and you're also in charge of me here. And that is just a fact.
Yes.
That
in fact, even as we speak, we're at the park. I've got one eye on this monster as she shoves whole stones
into
her mouth.
Yeah. Into the mouth. And that's exactly where I'm at. And it's, but that photo just made me think, you're all right. You're doing all right. You're not alone. It's all happening. It really was a powerful moment. Listen, we're fast running out of time, which is devastating because I could talk to you forever. What would be the biggest compliment somebody could give you about your work?
I had no idea.
Well, think.
Yeah. That's what you want, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Your stories kind of shake people out of whatever kind of stasis. Or if it can shift people out of a way of thinking or an understanding, or if you can illuminate, that's what it is. If you can illuminate something. So if someone comes up to me and was just like, I watched your movie about hair, I had no idea. We had our sound guy come up to me and ask me questions about it. And he was like, does this happen? Sure. I'm like, yeah, guy, I know this movie is set now. It's current. This movie. It's set in, and I've been calling these times 19, 20, 21, because it feels like we have looped back on ourselves in time. So in 19, 20, 20, yes, this is still happening. So I think the biggest compliment for me would be this idea of illuminating.
I love that.
And shifting a perception.
Yeah, I love that. I love your work. I'm such a fan of you, and I'm such a fan of your storytelling, and long may it continue. It's been an absolute pleasure
to
have you. Yeah, indeed. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me on the show. Have a great day.
You too.
I always say have a great today.
Yeah, have a great today. I love that. Quinita Adams, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Sarah Jane. Have a good one.